following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial and host of this Dollars and Cents radio show where we are live in studio this morning. A little bit of technical difficulties earlier, apparently when I showed up here about 20 minutes prior, power went out. It was kind of the weirdest thing. I was sitting here talking with Biff and power went out and everything went dark. Not just here, but apparently just here in the community. But the power came right back on like 20 seconds later, but we were just hoping that we'd be able to broadcast live. And here we are. Here we are. And thanks to Joanne Gillette for rolling out of bed and coming in here to make sure that we are up and running. Aberdeen Home Care's show continued on and we continue on. And you know, hey, we just adapt. There's all sorts of backup and contingency plans, and it happened, and it worked. So happy to be here this morning, and it's nice. I haven't been live in studio in about 3 or 4 weeks. I've been doing a little bit of traveling. I took some time off. Time off on Sundays. I mean, I still work during the week, but it's nice to be here. And you know, have you looked outside and noticed that even with all of this rain and all of the cold weather and the fact that it's fall, the leaves are still on the trees? It's kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, how about that rainstorm last night? I mean, that thing came through like, I don't know, I felt like it was in Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz here. And I thought the tornado was going to come through.
It's interesting you say that because my wife and I were looking out at the backyard this morning and saying, you know, after all this horrendous rain and wind, look at the trees. They still, I mean, those yellow leaves won't fall off no matter what.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So yesterday I was at home. I was watching the news as I was cleaning out my closet. I promised myself I would do something productive yesterday, and I cleaned out my closet. I'm watching the news, and they made the same comment. Isn't it amazing that the leaves are still on the trees? And apparently, the way the weather patterns over the past few months have worked out, you know, we've had a lot of warm weather. So just because it's getting into fall, the leaves don't realize that it's time to stop, you know, to die and fall off the tree. So they've been hanging on a little longer. So that when the wind comes through, they're a little bit, they're holding on a little bit tighter onto the trees, onto the branches, because they don't know that it's fall yet, because we've had a bunch of warm days. So, which is always a problem, because I want someone to come and get all those leaves off the ground of my house. and for those of you that are out there raking or blowing leaves, it's not worth it at this point, because there's going to be a whole new dump of leaves coming soon. So,
the other issue, Mark, is just to find the opportunity to get out there and rake, because it rains so much, and when it rains, it's very difficult to rake.
You're absolutely right. And then, you know, we've had instances where it could snow in November, and then that just screws everything up.
Oh, yeah, then, yeah.
So, you know, we're just talking about the weather here, but I guess we're a money show, and this is called Dollars and Cents, where we try to provide financial advice in a language you can understand, and we do that each and every Sunday morning. I think last week we had my daughter back on. We did a best of show, and Mindy is always just a great guest when she talks about perspectives of money from a 25-year-old. And I'll tell you, you know, it's different from my perspective when I was a kid. I mean, I think back. Look, I'm 55 years old. And when I think about the way we used money when I was 20, it's different than the way 25-year-olds use money today. I mean, they have more. They simply have more. I mean, when I was a kid, there was no possibility at all that during my first or second job that I'd be making more money than a 40 or 50 year old. You know, you have an entry level job. That's all you have. And some of these kids today, they're making a lot of money and they don't know what it means to struggle the way we struggled, or they are so used to having everything done for them. I mean, I remember going down into the basement as we were moving into our new house, and Mindy's downstairs with me in the basement, and she sees in the corner a lawnmower. And she says, "Daddy, why do you have a lawnmower?" I said, "Well, we had a lawnmower so we could cut the grass." She says, "But I've never seen you cut the grass." I said, "Well, that's because I used to cut the grass, and then your mother made me stop because every time I went out to cut the grass, I would come in with this big allergic reaction, and my eyes would all bulge out, and I was allergic to the cut grass. So we stopped doing that." "You cut the grass, Daddy?" Yeah. I mean, that's what we did. I mean, as a kid, I cut the grass all the time. I mean, I don't know what this allergic reaction, like, kicked in, like, in the first 4 or 5 years of getting married. I don't know what it was. And no, it wasn't an excuse. It was real, because I didn't mind going out to cut the grass. Frankly, it was an opportunity to get some peace and quiet, even though you had the white noise of the lawnmower. It was okay. I didn't mind getting out there. But Mindy just didn't understand that, you know, we don't hire people to do everything. But today, we pay. Everybody is so conditioned to pay for somebody else doing something for you. It blows me away with all of this delivery, this food delivery stuff. The amount of money that certainly the younger generation is willing to pay to have a DoorDash delivery, or a Grubhub delivery, or whatever it might be. They're paying 2 and 3 times the price. My son, Jerry, last summer decided to work for Grubhub. It was easy enough to do. You know, you show your license and you got a decent driving record and stuff. And they said, "Fine." And so Jerry would tell me he'd be out just hanging out waiting for a Grubhub order. And he'd go to McDonald's and get a small French fry. That's all that was ordered. A small French fry, which costs what? $1? Maybe $2? But this person was willing to pay a $5 delivery fee and then a tip on top. It's like, really? But that is what these kids are willing to do. Look, I've gone on my rants about the tip jars, which I think is absolutely insane. The tip jars that are hanging out in front of the pizza parlor or whatever. So I went to see Hadestown, which is in town here in Boston. There's part of the Broadway in Boston series. Hadestown is playing at the Opera House right now. Great show. Wonderful musical. I wish I had understood the story more so before I saw the show, because the vocals were amazing. The scenery is amazing. All that stuff. But I didn't quite follow the full story until maybe afterwards when I started asking questions. But at intermission, I decided to get four waters I decided to buy. And now we've had this conversation here on Dollars and Cents about the price you pay for convenience, right? You can pay 13 cents for a bottle of water if you buy it at Stop and Shop in a 24-pack. You can go to CVS or Dunkin' Donuts or your local convenience store and pay $1.99 or $1.59 for a bottle of water. Still more money. But if you go to Fenway Park, you go to the theater or whatever, it's a ridiculous amount of money. So I go to the Opera House and I get four waters. $5 per water. So that's $20. Now, it's a cashless experience there at the theater. So, you know, you pull up your credit card. So I stick my credit card in the machine, and the guy runs $20, and then he turns the screen around. You've seen this before. They turn the screen around for me to sign off. And what they're really asking me to do is to select one of the four buttons, which do I want to give them a 10%, 15%, 20%, 25%, or no tip? And he's staring at me in the face, and then I have to sign it. Why would I tip this guy? His job was to turn around and get four waters for me, and I'm paying $5 for it already. And so I hit no tip. Did I feel uncomfortable about it? Yes, because I thought I'd be getting the evil eye from a lot of people, but I find it absolutely ridiculous to pay a tip for somebody turning around and getting me stuff when they're getting paid by the hour anyways. They're not getting server pay at $2.13. They're getting $14, $15, $18 an hour. I don't even know what it is, but it's certainly up there. And I should tip on top of that for some guy to turn around and hand me a water? No, thank you. And I think we have been sucked into this. The other one that drives me nuts. Here's the other thing that drives me nuts. Not that I'm on a rampage this morning, probably because the power went out here a little bit and we were just trying to figure it out. So I'm really charged up. Here's the other thing. You go to the supermarket now, or you go to CVS or Walgreens, and you go to buy an item, and now they ask you, would you like to round up for charity or add a couple dollars for charity on the screen? I'm like, first of all, I don't even know that that money's really going to charity. I should just trust the fact that that's happening. No, sorry, that's some skepticism in me. There is some skepticism there. But no, I don't round up for charity. I'd round up for savings. Now, there's some places, I think Bank of America gives you the opportunity. If you could sign up every time you use your debit card or your credit card. If something costs, you know, $13.45, they said, would you like to round up to the closest dollar and save this money into an account? I think that's a pretty cool idea. I think that's pretty neat that you can do that. But round up for charity for, I don't even know where it's going. And some of these major charities, which maybe take 20 cents on the dollar that actually goes to the charity and the rest of it's used to pay, you know, all of the marketing and employees and the production and promotion costs and all that stuff. I'm not interested. If I'm going to give money to charity, and I do give a lot of money to charity. If I'm going to give money to charity, I'm going to go directly to the charity and make sure that I know that that charity is using the money for the purposes that it's supposed to be used for. So I want you to think about that. How are you being smart about the way you use your money? You know, so many people worry about, oh my God, I'm not going to have enough money in retirement. I'm going to run out of money. How much will I have? How much do I need to have? How much do I need to have? Well, one of the things that you could start doing is putting yourself first. I know, oh my gosh, is that selfish? Is that considered selfish to actually put yourself first? I don't think so. Putting money to your benefit is an important step in the success to financial prosperity. In fact, one of the first things I think you should do, one of the first things you could do when the bills come is the first bill should be to you. Pay yourself first. You've heard that expression. Pay yourself first. Now, many of us do that already because perhaps you participate in your 401k plan. You take a percentage of your pay and you put it into a retirement plan that's put aside on a pre-tax basis for your future. You have now paid yourself first. But what if you don't have a retirement plan? What if you don't have that privilege of being able to save with the paycheck that you get into a pre-tax retirement plan? Or even a post-tax retirement plan, for that matter. Do you just pay your bills and then say, well, if there's anything left over, then I'll save it? No, that's the wrong approach, folks. You have to pay yourself first. Every year we do a scholarship at Friedman Financial. And it's open, I mean, anybody who's listening to this show, if you have a child, grandchild, anybody that's graduating high school and is looking to go to college or some other form of a continuing education, I don't care whether it's to a... whether you're looking to go to an auto body shop for education, you want to become a bartender, or you want to go to college. If it's for future education, I'm all for it. We have a scholarship. It's $2,000. And anybody can apply to it. Well, the next one will be made. We'll let you know about it towards the end of January of the upcoming year. But the whole point of this is that everybody that participates in this scholarship, there's one person that wins. Yes, there's a winner, and not everybody gets a trophy. But everybody who does participate gets a book. And that book is called The Wealthy Barber. It's a book that's been around forever. Over 2 or 3 million copies of this book have been sold. The guy's name, I think, is David Chisholm is his last name. And it tells the story of a barber and how a barber was able to find success, how a barber was able to build financial prosperity for himself by just doing little things right. And the first thing that he had to do right was to pay himself first. Before he paid his bills, he would take 10% of his earnings, that's his gross earnings, and put it aside into some form of a savings. I don't care whether it's the bank, whether it's a mutual fund, whether it's a stock, just the fact that he put money aside for his future, part of his wealth, his net worth, and then he paid his bills. And if he didn't have enough money to pay all of his bills, then what he had to do is he needed to reevaluate his expenses. Because the last thing that he wanted to cut back on was paying himself first. Maybe we don't need to go out to eat as often. Maybe we don't need to spend so much on a car or sneakers or jeans or a purse. We need to live within our means. The secret to success, the financial secret to success, is to put money aside for yourself and to live within your means. If you're building up credit card debt, if you're taking on more debt than you need, that's not a strategy built for success. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. When we get back, I want to talk to you about some questions I've fielded over the past few weeks from both clients and various places that I've been, and I've been doing some traveling over the past few weeks. I want to share them with you because I think they're relevant. It's stuff that many people think about, that the average person thinks about. And I hope you'll stick around. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I was getting by with 9 kids and a wife, but I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're doing well. It's a typical fall day here in New England. Though surprisingly, the leaves are still on the trees. We talked about that in the earlier segment. They will fall eventually, I hope. What do you think, Biff? You think those leaves are going to fall?
Well, at some point they do, but the question is, will they fall before we... What will fall first,
snow
or snow?
I know, that sucks. I mean, when there's snow on the ground and then the leaves fall after that because, you know, it screws up our fall cleanup.
But, you know, before we go any further, I'm remiss. I should have formally welcomed you back. You hadn't been here for a couple of weeks, and so we figured we'd shut the power off. I need to get your heart rate up.
Although
I must say, you were way cooler than I was.
Well, when the power went off 15 minutes before we went live, I just said to Biff, I said, all right, I'm just going to get out of your way and you can figure this out because there's nothing that I could do. And apparently what I did was I thought I could do the right thing and I hit a button and turns out I further killed the rest of the system. sorry.
But guess what? We're here.
Yes. So sorry, Joanne. I know you raced in here to reset us, you just learned that just now on the radio that I...
She's driving home. She just drove off the road.
Yeah. What did you do, Mark?
These guys did what?
Well, there was one of the screens that was dead, so I figured, well, I'll hit the button to the computer. After the power came back on, it's still not coming back up, so I figured I'll just hit this button, and maybe it'll turn on this computer, because I figured that the computer closest to the screen must be the computer that goes with that screen. Mm. Well, apparently
not
it's
necessarily.
Not.
No.
It's this thing called Stork, and I guess I just shut the whole thing down when... And we just kept our fingers crossed that it would all come back up. And
Mark is a fix-it kind of guy.
I just press buttons and hope that it'll all work. You know, one of those guys that just, you know, kicks the vending machine when, you know, you can't get the soda out or whatever. Anyway. All right. Well, welcome back to Dollars and Cents. It's nice to be back here. I've been gone for the past 3 or 4 weeks, I guess. And we are here in studio. So I promised you in this segment I would talk to you about some questions, some perspectives that people have been offering up to me and sharing some thoughts. And I thought it was kind of interesting. I was listening to the show before this one. Joanne McGinnis, who is from Aberdeen Home Care, was talking about some of the estate documents that we all need. And I thought it was interesting for her to share that. I think it's important because she sees it from the medical perspective. If something were to happen to you, you need some of these estate planning documents in order. And many people will say to me, Mark, you know, geez, I haven't gotten around to getting a will. And a will is important. Don't get me wrong. We need to have a will. I believe that the likelihood of you using a will is far less likely on the short term than it will be for some of these other estate documents. So now what you need to understand when you go to see an estate planning attorney, generally you get a package of stuff. No, it doesn't come in a nice box, but it's a collection of documents that help you along the way. Of course, the will is one of them, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the two most important documents I think you need is a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney. That healthcare proxy is going to say, how do you want medical directives? How do you want things to be handled if you were incapacitated and needed to go to a hospital? Who's going to act on your behalf? What is the wishes that you might have? And if you don't have that, what's the likelihood of that happening? You think you're going to die sooner or get into a car accident? I think the likelihood of us getting injured or incapacitated or disabled is far more likely on the short term than it is just simply dropping dead. And I people sometimes say, Mark, you just talk about death so nonchalantly. Well, that's one of those taboo words, talking about death and cancer. You know, we used to have to whisper cancer. Now, you know, people are much more open in talking about that stuff. But death is one of those things that people still don't want to talk about, frankly, because they just don't know the answers of what happens. I'm not talking about what happens when you're dead and the white light or where you're going to go when you're dead. I'm talking about the stuff that everybody else has to deal with after you're gone. Everybody has assumptions. But who really knows what happens? Well, one of the things that I can tell you that I'd feel pretty expert on, and I'm embarrassed, but it's because it's part of my business now. We've been doing this for 53 years. When my father started the firm back in 1968, we deal with 12 to 18 deaths a year in my office. Now, like I've said, it's not because we serve bad coffee. In fact, most people like coming to our office because they love all the chocolates and the candy that we have available. But people do die. And when you've had a client base that's gone back to 1968, you know, people age out. I mean, you just hit that period of time in your life when you die. You also have periods of time when we're shocked when someone dies for a variety of reasons. But the surviving spouse or the surviving children of that remaining spouse really don't know what to do. So would you believe that our office, me, I'm generally one of the first three phone calls the survivor makes when someone dies? Because we know what happens. But what I try to do when we talk with our clients, and when we talk here on the radio, I want you to get an understanding of what happens in real life. Because many of us seem to think we understand death from the perspective of watching it in a movie. That when somebody dies, well, the family gathers in a fancy lawyer's office with the oak walls and the high-backed chairs, and then there's the reading of the will. The reading of the will. Now, most of you know, if you've had the experience of a spouse passing away or a parent passing away, there really is no reading of the will. That happens with super wealthy people. And here's the reason why there's no reading of the will. Because just because many of you, many parents or many people who've written wills agonize over who we're going to leave this money to. I want to leave $5,000 to my church. I want to leave, you know, $2,000 to a pet cemetery. I want to leave $500 to this really nice waiter that used to take care of me and my spouse. I want to leave, you know, 50% to my children and 20% to their person. Well, all of that stuff that you've agonized on how you want to allocate that stuff out, in many cases, we might not even get that far. And I'm going to explain to you why. But the first thing I want to explain to you is I would strongly suggest, when it comes time to listing off things, whether it's in a will, in a trust, in any type of document, whether it's a beneficiary designation on your IRA, please, 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 folks, don't list dollars amounts. List percentages. Do not list dollar amounts. List percentages. Why, you might say? Well, what happens if you said, I want to leave $10,000 to this church, $5,000 to this church, $20,000 to this nonprofit organization, and then the remaining money, 50% to my son, 50% to my daughter? What if all of a sudden, when you, maybe you were getting older and you went into a nursing home and you didn't have much money left, and the only asset that you had left was the value of your home, and upon your death, you had to sell the house? And that's cash. And that cash, that home may have been subject to probate. You'd have to pay off all of the dollar amounts first. And if you pay off all the dollar amounts first, there might not be as much as you might think left for the kids. Think about percentages. Think about percentages. So here's the thing about wills. I refer to the will as the street sweeper that comes through the street after a carnival or after a parade. What does the street sweeper do? It picks up all the stuff that hasn't been cleared up beforehand. Let's say you have an IRA. If you have an IRA account, generally you've named a beneficiary on your IRA. And let's say that beneficiary is your three kids. Well, we don't need the will to tell us that the three kids are going to get the money in your IRA. You know why? The IRA already said so. So that took care of that. If you have a joint account with your spouse and you die, your spouse gets the money. The will doesn't say so. All the will does, the will takes care of all of the stuff that didn't have a beneficiary named for it. So I want you to look at your accounts. I want you to go back and look at the accounts that you have. Certainly, to start with, what I call your non-IRA or non-retirement accounts. Maybe it's accounts that you have at the bank. Maybe you've got a checking account, a savings account, a money market account. Maybe you have an investment account. And I want you to look to see whose name is on the registration. And the best way to tell that is to pull up the statement. It'll say who the registration is. You might say, well, it's mine, but I know it's going to go to my wife, or I know it's going to go to my son. If your name is the only name on that statement, that's who it's registered to. And if you die, that account is subject to probate. If there is no named beneficiary on that account, it is subject to probate. That means before you get to the will, we need to share the value of those accounts on a bulletin board in your local town hall to let anybody who might have had a lien or felt that you owed them money the opportunity to see what you have available as part of your estate when you died that they can lay claim to before the people listed in the will get it. Do you want that to happen? Do you want part of your estate to be exposed to the general public? Look, you can go to Peabody City Hall, go to Danvers Town Hall, whatever it is, and you can find all of the probatable estates right now and find out who has what money that you could lay claim to. I'm not telling you to do it. You shouldn't do it, unless, of course, you have a case. But it shows the exposure of what we have. We're so worried about protecting our identity. Protecting our identity. If you want to do that, stop listing stuff in your own name or add a beneficiary. Add what's called a transfer on death, a TOD. That doesn't cost you anything. You don't need any fancy, sophisticated estate tools to name a transfer on death. Now, some people do need, or it's appropriate, to have what's called a revocable trust as the owner of some of your assets. You should work with an estate planning attorney or talk to us at least to get some general guidance. I don't write trusts. I don't write wills. I don't write powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, none of that stuff. But I understand it. And if you're confused, and if you're relying on the headline news, or if you're relying on your neighbor who says, well, that's what they say, you got to stop taking that kind of advice. It's time to get your financial house in order. And one of the things that Joanne McInnes talked about on her Aberdeen Home Healthcare show was the importance of getting your estate planning documents in order. And I wholeheartedly agree. But that healthcare proxy and that power of attorney, I think that's the most important thing everybody needs to have. The power of attorney says, if you are unavailable to sign a document, to act on something, to do something, and you need to assign somebody else to act on your behalf, by producing the power of attorney, you have said, I have given authorization to my spouse, to my partner, to my child, whomever it might be, to act on my behalf. Let's say there's documents that need to be signed. I always find it interesting. I'll call Verizon or Xfinity, and I'll want to make a change to my phone bill or my cable bill. And they'll say, I'm sorry, Mr. Friedman, we can't talk to you. Mrs. Friedman is listed on the account. I'm like, we live in the same damn house. We have the same phone number. I'm sorry, we can only talk to Mrs. Friedman. Can you put her on the line? Well, she's not here. I'm calling from the office. And so, but if I have a power of attorney, if we have a power of attorney, she's unavailable. Let's say Laura was traveling. Let's say she is, you know, unavailable. I can produce that power of attorney, and that will serve as something that's helpful. Though it's much easier just to get Laura on the phone these days because, I mean, we can conference people in. But you get it. Let's say you were in a car accident and you were incapacitated and there were decisions that have to be made. You can step up using that power of attorney. It's very important to have one. But you don't just buy the power of attorney. You don't just buy a healthcare proxy. You buy the package. Go see an estate planning attorney. And folks, I'm sorry, but if you're going to go get your estate work done, work with an attorney that focuses on estate planning stuff, not a guy that's your GP, a general practitioner. It's like going to your primary care physician when you have a urology issue. The primary care physician might give you a couple things. Well, here, try this prescription, try this. You want to get to the root of the problem. You want to go to your urologist. You want to go to your cardiac specialist. You want to go to a dermatologist or a podiatrist. Don't go to a general practitioner attorney who is just as likely to be in court litigating for a person and also writing wills and trusts and also drafting real estate documents. Find a specialist or go to a general practitioner attorney who says, hey, you know what? I think you need to focus and talk to this specialist in our office. That's what you need to do. Let's be responsible. Let's do financial. Let's continue to act on financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what we provide here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. every Sunday right here on North Shore 104.9. If you like this kind of advice, if you say, hey, you know what? This is the stuff that I really need to understand, or it's great little tidbits of advice. I want you to think about signing up for our weekly newsletter. And it's just a tool for you. I'm not going to use it as a solicitation vehicle to say, hey, you need to get into our office and come see us. No. There's 7,500 subscribers. I couldn't take on all of the subscribers as clients. Here's how you get the newsletter if you haven't signed up for it already. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name, your email address, and boom, you're signed up for the newsletter starting every Friday at 10:30. Now, there's also a space at the bottom where you can send me a message. You can ask me a question that I might answer here on air. You can ask to see if you could schedule an initial consultation, which costs nothing in our office. Or you could just simply get the newsletter. Three short stories, financial advice in a language you can understand. But you know what? We're heading towards the end of the year, and some people are saying, you know, finally, it's time to get my financial house in order. Or, you know, I realize I've had this stuff all over the place. The market's sitting at an all-time high. I'm a little nervous. I read about the headlines. God, those headlines just will drive you nuts. Inflation's too high. This is costing too much money. We got to worry about we have enough products for Christmas here. All of this stuff scaring the crap out of you. You know, if you want to sit down and have someone take a look at the big picture, understand your entire financial perspective. Everything you own, less everything you owe, so that you can make smart, informed financial decisions. I hope you'll give our office a call. 978-531-8108. Do we invest money for our clients? Do we manage money? Absolutely. Over $600 million of our clients' money are we managing. But we're also providing financial advice on all of the other aspects of their financial life. Unlike some financial advisors who simply focus on the investments only, you're getting great value by working with a certified financial planner like one at our firm at Friedman Financial, where we understand where everything is and what everything is worth, so we know the implications of how it all impacts one another. Our office number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give our office a call anytime, and I'd be delighted to talk with you about scheduling a free initial consultation. But until then, we're going to take a quick break. I got some more questions that I'm going to be answering for you right here, live in studio. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries, enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents'. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hey, Biff. How you doing?
Good.
So I guess...
Still, I know.
So the funniest thing was, you know, we talked about the newsletter in the last issue, the last segment.
Sure.
Yep. Since the commercial break...
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people have signed up for the newsletter.
There you go.
So wow. Shout out to Tom C, Jesse T, Cynthia O, Kelsey S, and Amanda G.
Wow.
What do you think about that? I guess people are listening to this show.
They are listening to the show.
So if you're just tuning in.
Words out that you're back live.
I guess we're back live. So it's pretty cool. It's just showing up here on my phone. So that's very cool. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. If you also want to join the five others that just signed up for our newsletter in like a four-minute period of time, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address, and you too will join these more than 7,000 subscribers who get planning pointers which is filled with three little tidbits of financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday.
And I'm a subscriber.
Yes.
And there are some great little nuggets. In addition to listening to the show on Sunday morning, I've become fairly financially savvy.
Well,
but anyway, it's really important to me that I get that because I can see whether you're live on Sunday or not.
You need to know whether to show up to the studio
exactly.
on Sunday, right?
I'm sort of single-minded about that. Yeah, I kind of read the other stuff, but I go right to that middle part where Mark will be live this Sunday.
I guess I'm working.
There. I should be there.
There you go. Well, you know, this past weekend, this week's newsletter, we talked about if you'd like to have a share of billions of dollars that are out there just waiting for you. I think people clicked on that. Where can I get my share of $1 billion? Well, you know, this whole fine mass money thing that you hear on the radio and on the TV, folks, it's real. It is really real, 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 real. We do it kind of, I've done it for myself, for my family, of course, and it's very easy to go into the website and put in your name and your information, and you'll find out if there is stuff that's sitting around. Now, you have to ask yourself, is it worth claiming a $5 gift card that I haven't, you know, collected up on yet? We have one that's sitting still with Mass Money, and I hope it just disappears. It was still actually in the business name. Apparently, we bought a long time ago, a Brother printer, okay? Brother brand printer. And there was a $5 rebate that we have not yet collected.
Oh,
okay?
That's still sitting there?
It's still sitting there. It's
so
actually under
how,
the...
How would it go away?
Well, I don't know, but I tried to get it, and then I realized, well, I had to do... My father was owning the company back then.
Oh,
so
boy.
This is almost 15 years ago, right?
You're going to have to get lawyers involved.
Yes, for $5, I said,
$5.
It's not worth it. But we have found, I mean, I didn't realize that when I was first married to Laura, I knew we had an account. We set up some accounts over at Stoneham Savings Bank, I think at the time. We were living in Stoneham. And there might have been a couple $100 that was left in the account. And I must have totally forgotten about it, or the bank was sold or whatever. And lo and behold, there was $200 sitting waiting for me. I've seen people get thousands of dollars. In fact, we had a call this past week. I got a call from one of the mutual fund companies. Actually, they called the client. And then the client called me because they didn't think it was for real. They were calling from one of the mutual fund companies saying that we've been trying to send you this information about an account that you have, and we've been doing it for more than 10 years. And we're not able to get the information sent to you. So this person was doing some her own investigative work, and through some service, took this client's social security number and tried to connect it with where they thought they lived. And so she found this phone number, giving it a shot, calls the client. And sure enough, the client that she was looking to talk to matched up with the social security number. Client calls me saying, Mark, is this real? Is this a scam? So I said, let me call. Let me see what's going on here. So sure enough, it is a financial institution, a mutual fund company that is calling to say, if you don't do anything with this money, we need to send this to the unclaimed property division in New Jersey. And so we did a little conference call. And we're talking about this. And she starts asking him some questions to verify who he was. And so he verifies his name, verifies the address where he lives, his social security number, his date of birth. And she says, this is an account that was opened up in the state of New Jersey. He says, I never lived in the state of New Jersey. So we're trying to figure out what this is all about. She says, well, it's your money. Maybe it was left to you by somebody else that you didn't even know about. Maybe that's the problem. It turns out they were spelling his last name wrong. So that could have been part of the problem. But this money was going to unclaimed properties. So fortunately, the woman was able to send us the documents for us to get more information about it. Because I said, how much is it? She says, I can't tell you that until we can fully verify that this is him. So now we've worked with this client. This is what I'm doing as a financial advisor, working with a client to try to help them on this. And they get the statement, and it's worth $40,000. $40,000 that's legitimately his. Okay, she says, this is an investment that was purchased in 1994. And it's just accrued and accumulating. $40,000. And remember, when the person from this investment company was going to call that house, they were skeptical. They thought it was a scam. And so they reached out to me to say, Mark, is this legitimate? And I then went and called that phone number, just asking some information, not about this client, but just inquiring what they do and what they're all about. It was absolutely legitimate. And so this client is going to have $40,000 sent to him. And this is money that he totally forgot that wasn't even available. So, folks, go to your Find Mass Money. I'm sure New Hampshire has one. Vermont has one. Florida has one. Ohio has one. They all have the unclaimed property divisions. Do it. There is money for you. Oh, Biff, do you have a question?
I do.
I saw you raised your hand.
Okay, so
thank you.
You had the conference call with them, and
yep.
They got all his information, including his Social Security number.
They knew it.
They knew it.
Oh, they knew the Social Security number. He just had to provide the last four digits.
I see. So what were the next steps that he had to do to get them? And then they sent him the statement, I guess, was the next step.
No, they did not send the statement. So we didn't know how much it was. First, they sent a verification form that said, this is the information we have you. They had his date of birth, his name, his address, and only the last four digits of his Social Security number.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he had to verify some other credit-based questions to prove it was really him. He answered them all. The only thing that was spelt wrong was his name. Okay, they had spelt his last name was spelt wrong. So that might have been confusing it. Okay, so he then had to show verification, driver's license of who he was. And the place where we were sending it to, it wasn't someplace in, you know, Cambodia or in, you know, Nigeria somewhere.
Yeah.
It was a legitimate place because
sure.
I called
yeah.
to make sure that this was legitimate. And it
and
was.
And you just asked, you know, peripheral questions
right.
about, you know.
I mean,
your goal was, are you guys legit?
Right. My first question had nothing to do with the client. I just said, hey, I've heard that there's, I heard from a client of mine who received a phone call. And I'm trying to understand the legitimacy of this organization. She says, it's a very fair question. They sent me all of the documentation. They said, and we actually do business with this mutual fund company.
So you identified yourself.
I identified myself as somebody and they could provide.
And your firm as well.
Right. But the division that they were doing this, it was more like an investigative firm. They're trying to clean up their books. It's a division of their firm. It's all legitimate. And so once we submitted the paperwork, I verified that it was him. I notarized the statement to prove that it was him. We send it off. They then send us a copy of the statement.
Okay, that's when you got the statement.
That's when I got the statement to say.
And it was eye-popping.
Yeah, and it was a legitimate statement. It just had a different address on it. And so we said, it's our money. And so sure enough, I didn't even have to use this woman. All I had to do was call the 800 number, which was the general 800 phone number for that mutual fund company, call customer service, and they right. just liquidated the account. Done.
Boom. You did over the phone?
Over the phone. Well, yeah, you can do that. That's
yeah.
Yeah, you can do that stuff. But well, I'm licensed with them, and they I have okay. to go through a series of protocols. But yes, but that's the kind of stuff that as a financial planner, as a financial advisor to our clients, that's what our clients count on.
You wouldn't think that you would do anything like that.
No. Yeah,
I mean,
but the money that is available in these, you know, unclaimed property accounts, it's insane what is out there. And it's just worth the look. Now, what I want you to do is if you go there, go to findmassmoney.com, put in your name. You sometimes have to just put in your last name. Then spell your name a little bit differently, but use the same address. And also check on other addresses that you've lived in within the past 10 years. Mm. Okay? So you put in some of those other addresses. And what you may find is not your name. But sometimes what pops up is you find your siblings or your parents or your grandparents or something like that. And you're going to say, oh, wow, they have some money. And so now you call them and it's like, Merry Christmas. I mean, there's some, yeah. I mean, like I said, sometimes it's $5 and you just say, it's just not worth it. But it can be a lot more. And usually they will tell you on Find Mass Money how much it really is. In other cases, you know, you'll find stuff for someone, a parent who's passed away and no one claimed the money. No one claimed the money, and it just sat there in an estate account. So now you have to prove that you were the executor of the estate, and you go and you can reclaim the money. It's a few steps, but if it's worth it, there's so much money that's out there.
Yeah.
You just got to do it. All right, so that's my story about fine. And that all came from, how do we get on that subject? Well, we started off this segment by myself seeing that, oh my goodness, there's a lot of people that signed up for the newsletter mm-hmm. at the end of the second segment. We had five. There's still five people. I'm still looking here.
Yeah, within 90 seconds. That's not bad.
Within 90 seconds. It was pretty wild.
Not bad.
And so go to, if you want my newsletter, Planning Pointers, it comes out each and every Friday. Go to the bottom of any page on my newsletter, of my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and we'll get you signed up for the newsletter. You'll join the 7,000 other subscribers. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, I got a couple more questions that I'm going to answer here on the radio, and then we'll turn it over to Scott Whitley. I'm going out to a place for breakfast that Scott Whitley had recommended and actually made a visit over to a couple weeks ago. We went there a couple weeks ago, actually, to try it out, and I'm going back again today. I'll tell you what that is and more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody.
Money, 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 money.
Biff, this is crazy. Two more people signed up for the newsletter over the commercial break. Wow. Valerie F. and Valerie F. and Peter P.
So we're up to seven. This morning.
People are actually
listening alone.
I just shake my head when I hear that people are listening to this show. And you know, it's funny. I was in the post office a month or two ago, and the guy asked me for my name and sending it out. He says, Friedman, two E's and a D?
He did not.
Yes, he did. I'm like, well, you know,
yeah, it's me, two E's and a D.
It's me, two E's and a D. Yeah, financial advice in a language you can understand. And 10 years, I guess, doing this, you get a little bit of recognition.
Well, I mean, between you being on the radio each weekend, your exposure at the Topsfield Fair, celebrity status.
I guess I'm not so sure that I want to be known at the post office, though.
Well, you don't want your face on the wall.
I don't want my face there. And, yeah, exactly. So I don't know if that's the place I want to be known. But anyways, my name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We've only got a couple minutes left in the show before I flip the switch over to Scott Whitley and his fabulous studios that he has out in North Andover, Massachusetts for his Wicked Bites radio show. I know he was on TV yesterday talking about some places that he's been. He's been housing donuts. If you don't know what housing a donut, you know what housing a donut means?
I don't know what
you don't know what housing a donut means.
No, is that when you bring in wayward donuts and try to reform
them?
Adopt a donut, or I mean, I don't know. To rehabilitate a donut. I don't know.
It's not something that I think we need to do, but it's not the most healthy thing in the world. But to house a donut is to basically eat a donut in one bite and as fast as you can.
Oh. Ooh,
it's like just shove the whole thing in your mouth.
I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Yeah, I don't recommend it either. But the FIVA, who is was joining Scott Whitley this week, and he's been actually on this radio show, and he's done a few things, and he has this thing about housing donuts, and he travels all around the state. Which donut can he house? And so, I don't know. That's interesting.
Does he have a cardiologist on staff at all times?
I don't know. But I did promise that I was going to tell you about the where I was going for breakfast from here. I'm going to Daria's Cafe over in Middleton. Daria's, it used to be, years ago, it was called the Ariston Cafe. long, long time ago. And then it was, I think, Ruggieri's Seafood and Pizza. In fact, Ruggieri's used to advertise here. Then that shut down and Daria came in and opened up this restaurant. And wow, we went there a couple weeks ago, sat at the counter with my daughters, got to meet Daria. My kids couldn't believe how much food you get. But huge amounts of food. It was very fresh, really creative stuff. Definitely stop over. I think the whole...
Is it a breakfast focus?
It's a breakfast lunch place.
Okay.
Breakfast lunch. I mean,
Boy, there's nothing like a good breakfast.
No, and I mean, it's not one of these greasy spoon kind of breakfast places. The stuff is fresh. Yeah. Everybody was so friendly. We're looking forward to it. We're going back again today. So, you know, I know Scott and I banter back and forth about some of the breakfast places we end up seeing each other at. We've met over at Ellie's Farmhouse up in Methuen. The Friendly Toast just opened up in North Andover this past week. We did swing over there. I like it. It's a lot of food, though, it is a little pricey, I think, but it's a great experience. So it's a fun atmosphere. It really is. So you pay for it. But I think Daria's Cafe is one of these hidden gems that people don't know about. And thanks to Wicked Bites for introducing me to it.
Well, that's Scott. What Scott does. He finds these gems. Yeah. Big place, little place?
Little place. Little place.
Seats what? What would you say? Guessing.
I would say it's, if you've been to the Depot Diner across the street from here, I would guess half of that size.
Half of that size.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it seats a few. Probably 30 people, I would bet.
Okay.
Maybe 30, 35. In the restaurant, but that's it. And then they got some bars. You know, you can sit up at the counter and have breakfast up there.
Man, so it's breakfast and lunch.
Breakfast and lunch. That's it. Someday, Biff, I want to own a breakfast lunch place.
Yeah, so you can get done work at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah, because it's so easy. You know, you just start.
Old restaurant business is so easy. It's not tough like your business.
Yeah. You just show up. Turn the lights.
You turn the lights on.
Yeah.
And if money just jumps into the register.
That's right. And at 2:00,
you don't have to do anything.
And it's 2:00 when we close. We just go home.
No,
that's that simple.
It's so easy. Yeah.
God.
Okay. You know, we're being very sarcastic.
Being very sarcastic. Kudos to all the people that have worked in the restaurant
business. Exactly right. I don't want to insult the people in the restaurant business.
It has got to be the hardest job in the world.
Without question.
Most demanding.
About it.
You know, this whole idea about the customer always being right. God, the customer should not always be right. I wish we could just say, sorry, get out of my restaurant. You're being a jerk. But you can't do that because, you know, everything's Instagrammable these days. Anyways,
that's for sure.
I guess I don't have much more time to talk about. Well, I'll get to one thing here. I'll answer one more question before we get out of here because Biff's going to tell me 2 minutes and then we got to turn it over to Scott. All right. So I got this question that came in. Someone sent to me, Mark, I've just started working for a school department. I'm driving a school bus, a special ed school bus. And it's part of the Essex County Pension Plan. I was told that I have to put 9% of my pay into the Essex County Pension Plan. And she was like, well, okay. I mean, they said it's for my pension. Great. She said, should I put more in? Well, and then the last question was, how much should I be putting aside for retirement? Well, those are some great questions, but you need some context around that. But first of all, let me explain to you why you're putting 9% into this pension plan. And it's not that you want to, it's you have to. Because if you work for the teacher's retirement plan, for the state, whatever, you're entitled to a pension. But you got to be there for a while. You're putting money in so that when you do retire, the government, the state, the teachers union, or the teachers retirement plan will pay you a guaranteed check for the rest of your life. And one of the things that happens, especially if you've been a teacher all your life and never done any other type of work, teacher, something in the school system, whatever it might be, a janitor, I don't care, special ed teacher, you're not entitled to Social Security. It's one of those weird things here in Massachusetts where you get a pension as working as a state employee, as a teacher, but you're not entitled to Social Security. And so you want to make sure that you are paying into that because they're not taking FICA tax out. Remember, you take out FICA on your regular tax, that thing that goes to Social Security tax and Medicare? People always wonder, I don't want to do this FICA.
They don't take that out.
No, they don't take it out.
Because you're not going to get it back.
You're not going to get it back, right?
So if you don't do that, you get nothing.
You get nothing, right? So you don't have a choice. That's why they take the 9%. They have to. But can you put in more? Can you put in more? Why would you want to? Because you're only going to get a pension that's based upon the number of hours that you've worked. I mean, the number of years that you've worked and your age. So it's a percentage of your salary. So there's no need to put more in. You can do other things. They have a 457 plan. They have an opportunity to put money away, sometimes called a 403B plan, where you can put money away on a pre-tax basis for your own savings. But no, the 9% that you're putting into that plan, that's all you put in. But if you're only going to be a bus driver, like this person is, for the next 3 years, you're probably not going to get a pension. Then what happens
to... So do you still have to put it in?
But you still have to put it in, but...
So it goes away?
No, it does not go away. It's still your money. And then the school department will reach out to you and say, hey, you've got this money that you've put into the plan. You have the opportunity to take it out. You have the opportunity to take it out because maybe the other jobs you have are going to be ones that are working in the public sector where you're putting money into FICA and Social Security.
So you are paying.
So you're going to pay into your quarters of Social Security to do that. But all fair questions. But understand, most people that ask questions of us, when it comes through a sound bite like this, we need to add and fill in more context to give you the right answers. This is not a 30-second soundbite answers show. We want to make sure that we give you the right advice. And right now, the advice I'm getting is to get the heck out of here because we've run out of time, and we got to turn it back over to Scott Whitley. So with that, I wish you all a very great Sunday. I hope the Patriots are playing today. Patriots are playing the Browns.
Bruins playing Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, they are.
Tonight, 7 o'clock.
And the Celtics lost a tough one last night. They really choked at the end. But anyways, I got to get out of here. Have a great day, everybody. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.